In honor of Mother's Day, we just want to take a couple minutes and honor the mom. So I'm going to ask you this. If you are a mom, would you please stand up for just a second? See where all the moms are. Roxanna, stand up. All right. That's a great group of moms. Now, if you are a grandmother, would you please remain standing? Let's see who the grandmas are. Ooh. All right, I'm going to go one more. Do we have any great grandmothers? Any great grandmothers? We do. Yes, a couple of them. Oh, nice. Awesome. Well, that's exciting to see. To know at church today, we have at least four generations. Do I need to go higher? Do we have any great great grandmothers? Oh my goodness! Wow. Blessings on you, Hilda. That's awesome. That is awesome. So we can say we actually have five generations of people at church today, right? From babies all the way up to great-great-grandmothers. That's a testimony of living life in faith. So in honor of Mother's Day today, I'm going to start out with just sharing a few things about what motherhood is, okay? So motherhood is the kids knocking on the bathroom door like SWAT team while you're in the shower, because they need something to eat right this minute. Meanwhile, Dad is standing in the kitchen. Motherhood is when your kids come in to tell you they're bored, as if the lady standing in front of a pile of dirty dishes in the kitchen sink is the place you should go to ask for ideas about fun things to do. Motherhood is yelling, "You just had a snack," over and over, until you give in and throw them another snack. Here's my favorite. Motherhood is helping your child search for their chocolate that you ate last night. I think we've all done that. Moms, you do so many things. And your job description is constantly changing. It's never the same, 2 days in a row. But we're just going to give you a shout out for some of those things today. The job description of a mom includes, but is not limited to, I have to read this because there's so many: teacher, counselor, nurse, janitor, cook, entertainment coordinator, cheerleader, coach, financial manager, secretary, transportation director, meal planner, psychologist, prayer warrior, friend, confidant, party planner, diaper changer, laundry cleaner, homework helper, and more. So moms, for all the laundry that you've done, lunches you've packed, meals you've cooked, tears you've dried, tears you've cried, Legos you've stepped on, lost toys or shoes that you found, noses that you've wiped, diapers you've changed, play dates you've arranged, for all the sleepless nights when you've worried about your children or stayed awake with a sick child, for all the prayers you've prayed, for all the broken toys you've mended, for all the broken hearts you've mended, for all the homework folders you've signed, for all the times you've gone to the store on a Wednesday night because the science project is due Thursday and you just found out about it, for all those little solar systems you had to make with the styrofoam balls, for all the birthday cakes you bake, for always putting everyone else's needs above your own, for all that you tirelessly do day in and day out to make sure that everyone is well and safe and happy and growing and fed and loved. We want to say thank you to all of the moms, and we pray that you're really blessed today and every day, but especially today on Mother's Day. In fact, hopefully you saw it on the way in, we are giving away three really great gifts today at the end of the service. So hopefully you're able to put your name in on the way into service. But if not, if you raise your hands, the ushers are going to come around and make sure you get your name. Is there anyone that needs, just raise your hand and they'll bring it to you. Just for the moms, not Chip, put your hand down. So today, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to look at who's arguably the most famous and for sure the most important mom that ever lived. And that's Mary, the mother of Jesus. And specifically, we're going to look at Mary's faith journey, and Mary's yes, the yes of Mary. Now, all of us at some point in our lives have probably struggled with our faith. We always have had questions at one point or another. Maybe we question, does God exist? Maybe we question, is everything in the Bible true? Is God doing anything? Is God speaking? Is he speaking to me? Am I hearing him correctly? We have all kinds of things that cause us to struggle in our faith and have doubts. And it would be great if we had that solid rock, never thrown off of it, faith all the time. But the reality is, the world we live in, we have distractions, we get in our own heads, we see things, we watch the news. There are things that throw us off of that 100% confident, total faith all the time. I think we kind of weave in and out of it, and we have pockets of time where we're just rock solid, but a lot of us just deal with doubts now and then. I know that I do. We think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as somebody who just had that powerhouse, unshakable faith. And the reality is, that is not quite the truth. It is and it isn't, and we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at her story in Luke chapter 1, and ironically, it's a Christmas story. And it feels a little weird to read the Christmas story in May. We're used to reading it in December, not in May, but the weather sort of cooperated today, I guess. It's terrible out. But, you know, there's a lot of rich stuff in this story about the faith of Mary. And I think the story just becomes so familiar to us because we read it every year at Christmas. And we probably, a lot of us have heard it since we were kids. So maybe the actual reactions of Mary we sort of gloss over. But we're going to look at those today. And I think we're going to see that Mary, her faith journey isn't entirely different from ours. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And some versions say, "Nothing is impossible with God." Verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. There is a lot happening in this very familiar Christmas story. I think the first thing we need to realize is that Mary was a teenage peasant girl at the time that this took place. So this would have been a lowly status. Okay, she didn't have a high status at all. Teenage peasant girl wouldn't have been regarded. And I don't know what she was doing at this moment. Was she washing a dish? Was she reading? Was she, who knows, sewing something? Was she just hanging out? And an angel appears in front of her. Think about that for a minute. Like, I kind of wonder, part of me wants to know, but part of me doesn't. Like, what was that like? It sounds a little horrifying. Did he just, like, fly in? Were wings flapping? Did he glow? What did he look like? Was he big? I mean, there's so many questions. An angel appears. Like, just try to wrap your mind around that. Can you imagine, ladies, you're standing at the kitchen sink, you're washing the dishes, and an angel shows up in the kitchen. What do you do? Or guys, you're cutting the grass and you're getting that perfect strip of grass. Chip likes to do the waffle cuts. You guys know what I mean, right? The waffle cuts. And right there in the middle of your waffle cut, there's an angel. Like, what do you do? That is rattling. So an angel appears, and that's really bizarre enough. And Mary's first reaction is confusion. It says in verse 29, she was confused. And I think something else confusing is the angel's greeting. She's a lowly peasant girl, and the angel says, "Greetings, favored one." That doesn't fit. That doesn't fit with how she sees herself. That's a greeting that would be reserved for kings or priests or someone with a crown or a robe, not a lowly peasant girl. So there's an angel in front of her, and he says, "Greetings, favored one." And that does not fit with Mary's perception of herself or with other people's perception of Mary. And her first response on her faith journey is confusion. Can anybody relate to that? When God speaks to you, do you ever feel confused? Like wondering, is that God? Is that the voice of God, or is that my own thought? Am I supposed to do this or not? And I think part of the reason that Mary's confused and that we get confused is that when God is speaking to us and leading us to things, it's usually often above and beyond what we see ourselves as being able to do. It's above and beyond the role that we see ourselves in. We're kind of floating along, doing what we do. It's our normal life. God might show up with a different plan, and it's bigger than what we see ourselves capable of doing. So Mary starts out confused, and that confusion includes fear. It says she's confused and disturbed. She's afraid. I'd be afraid. I'm sure of it. Well, God knew she was going to be afraid, because the next thing the angel said, and remember, the angel is a messenger of God. He's delivering the words of God. And the next thing he says is, "Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid." He knew she would be afraid. He knows we're afraid. Fun fact, did you know there are 365 verses in the Bible that address fear? Don't be afraid. Fear not. 365. Interesting, isn't it? One for every day of the year. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God knows we are going to be afraid, that we're going to have fear. It's part of the human condition. He's not upset with us for that. He expected it. He put a lot of promises in his word to come against that. And I think what he's saying is, I understand you're afraid, but you don't need to be. I've got you covered. Do not be afraid, Mary. And he goes on, the angel goes on to explain what's going to happen. So this, her first step is confusion in her faith journey. She's confused, and her second response is fear. So that's how we're starting out so far. Does it sound a little bit like us? I feel like maybe we're in good company here. He says, "Don't be afraid, Mary." And he tells her what's going to happen. "You're going to have a son. He's going to be a king." Okay, well, that helps. Now I'm not scared anymore, right? That didn't help at all. I think I'd be more afraid. His explanation, maybe there's more to it than what we get to read, but it seems a little short on detail and plan. And I'm one of those people that needs to know every step of the process. But he says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You're going to have a son, and he's going to be a king, and he's going to reign forever." That wouldn't really calm my fears, in all honesty. So how does Mary get from confusion and fear to faith and commitment? Well, there's another step in there. Questions. She asked a question. And her question was a very legitimate question. She said, "How can this be? I'm a virgin. I'm not married." Some of the kids' Bibles say, "I'm not married." I like that better. "How can this be?" in the physical world, that is literally impossible. There is no possible way. This is what she's saying to God. How can this be? You know, there's a lot of things that we say are impossible. You know, it's impossible I'm going to get out of debt. It's impossible I'll pass this test. It's impossible I'll break this addiction. It's impossible I'll fix my marriage. We say a lot of things are impossible. But the reality is, they're not, are they? They might be improbable or unlikely, but they're not literally impossible. But this moment in time was literally physically impossible. How can this be, Lord? And Gabriel explains what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of God will overshadow you. This baby will be a holy baby. And he ends up with, the word of God will never fail. And some versions say, nothing is impossible with God. The word of the Lord will never fail, and nothing is impossible with God. Now, this is how God works, isn't it? The world says, this can't happen. This is not physically possible. And God says, watch me, because I don't operate in the physical realm. I operate in the supernatural realm, and I can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary asked a question, and God spoke. He didn't get mad that she asked a question. He answered the question. Mary hears this promise, and her reaction isn't, okay, this is great. She says, how can this be? This is not possible. I think it's like saying, how can this be? I'm not qualified for this. I'm not in the right position in life. I am not married. I'm a young teenage girl. I am not in the right role for this. I am not qualified. Does this also sound a little familiar? How often is that our go-to? When we feel like God might be calling us to do something, or maybe the pastor asks you if you're interested in something, and our often response is, I'm not qualified for that. Hey, you should go on this mission trip. I'm not qualified. I don't know how to make wheelchairs. You should lead a care group. I'm not qualified. I haven't had any Bible classes. It's our go-to because we know our restrictions. We know what we've done before. We feel our lack of qualifications. We're in good company. In the Old Testament, God comes to Moses and he says, I want you to speak to the people. And Moses said, I'm not qualified. I'm not very good at speaking. He goes to Jeremiah and he says, I want you to be a prophet. Jeremiah says, I'm not qualified. I'm too young. We are in the good company of a lot of holy people that said they weren't qualified. And you know, years ago I heard this phrase and it has stuck with me ever since. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I'm going to say that one more time. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He is looking for willing hearts. He's not looking for the highest skill level. The world is full of people who are great at many things, highest skill level of things. But if their heart isn't willing to serve, he can't use those people, right? He's looking for willing hearts. You might have the highest skill level in the world, but if you're saying, well, I don't know, the pay's not enough, or that doesn't quite fit my idea of what I wanted to do, well, you're not giving God any room to work, are you? He's looking for willing hearts. The skills, the qualifications, he can give you that. Mary went from confusion to fear to questions to commitment. I want to look at her response one more time in verse 38. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Now, I got to be honest with you. I do not believe that would have been my initial response. I mean, I don't know. That was not the most amount of information, in my opinion. And I'm scared, right? There's an angel in front of me. My whole life is about to be upended because I'm going to carry the child of God. That is life-changing. And in just that moment, I don't know if I would have had the courage to say, may it be done as you have said. I might have said, you know what, I need to talk to Joseph, or let me talk to mom and dad first. I will get back to you. Something other than, may it be done for me as you have said. May all of you said about me come true. That's gutsy. That is gutsy. But you know, if I had to guess, Mary didn't say that with all the confusion and fear and questions gone. I don't think those just disappeared in that moment. I think she said yes with those still being a part of her. But she had a willing heart. And I think the message from that for us is it's okay to have fears and questions and confusion and doubts. It's okay to have those. When God calls us to something, if we wait till all of those are gone before we say yes to God, we're never going to do anything, right? Because those will never leave. They will leave. They will leave if we act. But if we wait for those things to go, we won't act in the moment. It's okay to bring those with you because you know what God says? He doesn't say, I'm going to need you to get rid of all your questions before you can serve me. No, he does not. He says, bring your confusion and your questions. I have answers. Bring your fears. I have peace. And bring your doubts about your qualifications. I will give you everything you need. Philippians 4:19 says, I love this verse, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will supply all your needs. He's got you covered. If he's asking you to do something, you better believe he's going to supply what you need to do it. There's two really amazing things to me in Mary's response. The first one is this. She said yes, really not fully knowing all that was about to happen. And this was, I'm sure she knew at some level this was going to change everything because she was going to have to explain to Joseph, explain to her family, people were going to talk. None of this was in her plan. None of it. But she did it. She said yes. And the other really amazing thing to me was that the God of the universe was waiting on a yes from a lowly teenage peasant girl. Think about that. The God of the universe who created all of it, put it all on the yes of a humble teenage girl. Mary's faith played a big part in that, and God knew she was going to say yes. You know, I've occasionally wondered, did he have a backup plan if she said no? Was there somebody that lived down the street that he was thinking about asking? I don't know. I don't think he needed to. He knew Mary was going to say yes. In fact, she said, may everything you said about me come true. Thy will be done, in other words. And she didn't try to change the plan, did she? She didn't say, okay, we can do this, but could we wait a couple years till after Joseph and I were married? Or could you just give me a little more time? Let me talk things out. She didn't. She said, thy will be done. How often do we say, thy will be done, and actually mean thy will be done? I think a little bit more often what we really mean is thy will be changed. You know, God, I like this. I can buy into it, but can we just tweak it a little bit? Or, you know, this doesn't quite fit what I was thinking, so we can do part A, but let's change part B. Thy will be changed. It's not the easiest thing to say, thy will be done, and actually mean it. Because sometimes that causes us to have to let go of our plans. And sometimes when we let go of our plans, we lose control of it. And that's an uncomfortable feeling for a lot of us. it's hard to not feel like we're in control of what comes next. But I think the message here that we can get from Mary is, my plan is better, my plan is bigger, you could trust me. I've got it all mapped out, but you're going to have to let go of the path you were on. I've got something bigger and better. I hope that I can have this kind of faith that Mary had, the faith that says, thy will be done, may it be as you have said, and just go for it without the fears and the questions and the confusion. I hope that I get there. And I think we're all a work in progress. She said, may everything you've said about me come true. We're going to start bringing this home with a couple of verses from Psalms. Psalm 37, verse 5 says this, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. You know, Pastor Chip talked about this within the last couple weeks. Take the step out. I like how he said this. Take the step out, even if it's the wrong step. When we step out, we're giving God something to work with. He'll get us back the right way. But if we don't take the step, we'll never know. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. He will act. He will act. And Psalm 138, 8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. He will fulfill it. If our hearts are willing and our hearts are open, like Mary's was, even when we bring the questions and the confusion, Mary's yes allowed the Savior of the world to be born, and that changed eternity. That changed the world for the rest of time. Think about that. Her yes, the yes of a teenage, humble, lowly girl. What's God calling you to do today? What's he calling you to? When I asked that question, I think for some of you, something popped into your head immediately because you know he's been talking to you about something. I believe there's people in this room that something popped into your head. What's he calling you to say yes to? It might be a mission trip. It might be serving in a particular ministry. Maybe it's leading a life group. Maybe it's inviting someone to church. Maybe he's calling you away from something because he wants you to be sold out for him, full on. What's he calling you to say yes to today? And in that calling, I want you to leave with this thought. It's okay to bring your doubts and your confusions and your fears and your questions. Bring those along. He's accounted for that already. He's not rattled by that. He can handle it. Bring those with you and watch and see what he can do. Thy will be done, Lord. He has a purpose for everybody in this room, and he will fulfill his purpose for you. So I think today is your day for some of you. What's he calling you to say yes to? Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for the testimony and the story of Mary that we can learn from, God, that she isn't so different from us, that she had fears and she had doubts and she had wonders. And it shows me that we're okay to do the same, that you can handle that, God. And I thank you for this testimony of faith that we learn from Mary. God, my prayer too is that you bless every mom in this room. They feel special and loved and celebrated today. And we thank you for them and for everything they do. We thank you for the promises of your word, God, that nothing is impossible with you. In Jesus' name, amen.